This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Chris, please tell me Malice did not pick this song. He did this on purpose. Why is he like this? Why is he like this? Joining me now, he hasn't joined us in quite some time, so I guess we need to rehash this whole thing. My friend Michael Malice joins me now. One of the, he hides it behind some biting humor. One of the more brilliant people on the right, I would say, really has some sharp ideas, but gosh, his music is so freaking embarrassing. Michael, tell people who you are again really quickly.
I'm the podcaster who's smarter and better than you. I'm the author of The White Pill, and my show is called You're Welcome.
His show is extremely entertaining, called You're Welcome. Okay, Michael, first of all, the Trump administration so far, I've been screaming today, which is abnormal because I've been very, very pleased, but screaming today about things like leaking national security information. And people whine. They say, well, it was an accident. It was an accident. Well, some things are too important. You don't get to have accidents. My kid, who's five, gets to have an accident back when he was five. When you were part of the administration, you don't get to leak information to a communist reporter.
Yeah, that's fair. But I think you have to put things into context. When, I mean, even like Babe Ruth was only batting, what, like 300, like at his best? You know what I mean? So I think you and I both agree, and everyone listening to this agrees, this is the first president in our lifetimes, if possibly ever, who has over-delivered on his campaign promises.
Yes.
Nothing of this has ever happened before, where things that weren't even on the table, as you and I discussed when you were on my show, are actually happening. So, and this is not the only sloppy thing. They fired some people and they had to rehire them, and the corporate press made a lot of hash out about that. But, I mean, there's going to be some misses. I agree with you in the broader context, but think about how many times corporate, like national security secrets, were leaked on purpose in prior administrations. You know what I mean?
Yeah. By the way, I was thinking about the left today and how the disarray Democrats are in, which we're all enjoying that now because it couldn't happen to a nicer group of people. And I'm convinced that once Joe Biden took over and the rabid animals, there were no leashes anymore because Biden wasn't strong enough to do that, that they thought they had convinced themselves that they had total power and they didn't have to ask anymore. They didn't have to convince anybody anymore. They just did the same thing communists always do. They just went to force. And now that's all they know. They don't know how to convince, so they don't even know how to try.
I think it's something even different than that, which is they are in a movie of their own making, and they thought Trump was the head vampire who, you know, inflicted all these horrors on America. And once you defeat the head vampire, you know, drive him out of the Oval Office, it's a wrap, and, you know, we could just do what we want. We've reached, like, the Holy Land. And so this last election really threw them for a loop because everyone, I think, or not everyone, but a lot of people at least had the narrative, okay, maybe she's going to get the popular vote, where he's going to get, like, 48, you know what I mean? He's just going to win the Electoral College. I don't think the popular vote majority was really on the table for most pundits, certainly not in the Democratic aisle. So now they really don't know what to do with themselves. And this is what the Republicans had to do in 2009. Remember, Obama comes in with supermajorities. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, do you swing to the center and try to reclaim that ground, or do you double down, you know, on your conservative principles and try to speak to the base? It was a kind of this come-to-Jesus moment. And they basically chose both and didn't work out for them for quite some time until Trump came in. And that's what they're facing right now.
Are they totally, totally screwed? And I say this in this way. Obviously, they'll come back at some point in time. That's the way the world works. But It seems like their most reasonable, if we have to use that horrible word, their most reasonable voices are all old, just simply age-wise. You know, Nancy Pelosi sits there hammered with her dentures falling out. Chuck Schumer's more hunched over than he ever was before. The people who are trying to keep the cats inside the fence, they're all 95 years old and pooping in diapers, and that doesn't mean there are going to be good things in the future if AOC's running it.
There's one candidate I donated money to in 2022, and he is not old, and he will be the savior of the Democratic Party. Do you know who he is?
Who?
Your fellow Sasquatch, John Fetterman.
Oh, gosh.
John Fetterman understands how to speak to moderates and suburban white women, and those are the swing voters that determine elections. If the Democratic Party had listened to him in 2024, they would have had the blowout that they did in the Electoral College.
Yes, but they're not listening to him now. Every time he opens his big, oafy, stupid mouth, he gets screamed at by all these people. He doesn't have any power.
In 2015, every time Trump opened his mouth, he got screamed at by everyone in the Republican Party, remember? And then he broke them. So there's lots of smart people in the Democratic leadership who only want to maintain power, and enough of them are going to start listening to him that things are going to start moving in that direction. And there's also going to be plenty of people who think it's going to be the Bernie Sanders approach. You know, we got to go full socialism and full, as you and I discussed, like, let's go back to the COVID ways. So that's going to be this big kind of butting of heads going forward. They drove away. It was really funny, as the corporate press, Democrats always talk about nonpartisanship, bipartisanship. They alienated Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema. Like, the two Democrats who knew how to, like, go center and be bipartisan, they drove them out of the party. They built this grave that they're in right now.
Yes, but didn't you just, by accident, by the way, speaking with Michael Malice, the brilliant Michael Malice, host of You're Welcome, didn't you just make my point for me? They're going to run him out of the party. He's going to try to be moderate about this and moderate about that, and he's going to be primaried by some Maoist wacko in Pennsylvania who will then move on to lose the Senate seat.
It's easy to drive people out of the party when you have the majority. When you're in defense, you start kind of going over your notes. Smart people do. So again, you and I both know the Democratic establishment, there's lots of brilliant, evil people there, and enough of them are going to start checking notes.
Michael, would you ever visit North Korea? Jewish producer Chris wants to visit North Korea. What?
Do you have any idea why am I even on this show? I wrote a book about it. What are you talking about? Are you joking?
Why? Yes, that's why I'm asking, Meathead. What happened?
What do you mean, what happened? I was there in 2012. Lovely place. You've never been? It's like the new Milan. Mm-hmm. You'd be the biggest person in the whole country, literally.
Well, tell people your story.
Well, I wrote about it for Reason Magazine 12 years ago. It's not legal now. If he wanted to go in 2025 as a U.S. citizen, it's forbidden. I think they're closed to all tourism at all. In fact, they think they opened it recently for a little window, then they shut it down again. So it's not on the table anymore.
Michael, where is Trump going to go in 4 years? Meaning, where does the party go? Trump's gone. Where do we go? Are we lost? Normally, when you have a figure like Trump, who everyone rests their eyes on for a long time. Look, they can be beneficial. They can move your party, your country, the way you want them to go. But when they leave, oftentimes people are left looking around days like, what do we do now? Do you see that for us?
I do. A lot's going to obviously depend on the midterms. And I think, I and I'm sure you agree with this, J.D. Vance is doing everything he needs to do to be the heir apprentice. He is really following suit, knowing his place, yes, ma'am, and so on and so forth, and yet, you know, singing the Trump song. So he's really positioning himself, I think, very, very well. And also, here's a prediction that I think you'll agree with as well, Jesse. We don't know what's going to happen if Trump and Elon start butting heads, because those are two giant egos at a certain point, it's a matter of time, in my opinion.
I actually have thought the exact same thing. I think I said something about that publicly a few months ago. I think Elon's going to get frustrated with the pace of everything. He's obviously used to being Lord High Commander in whatever room he walks into. So is Trump. Those two types don't generally mix all that well.
And yeah, at a certain point, he might just get bored. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know how it's going to look, but that's something that could easily, you know, put a monkey wrench at the whole situation.
Michael, thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Jesse. Take care.
Yeah, It's been a concern that I've had for a while, but you don't want to create a problem where there's no problem yet. But remember, we had that, the reporting came out that there was a big blow up, and it was a report that no one denied, so we can't even do the media lied about it, where Elon and Rubio, they had a big dust up. Why? Elon tried to can a bunch of people at the State Department. Rubio, who's obviously as Secretary of State, he's the head of the State Department. Rubio essentially stepped in and said, wait a minute, I'm the one who's going to fire people from the State Department. You don't get to fire people from the State Department. To which Elon, which a guy like that would operate in this way, would say, well, you're screwing it up. Maybe you should move faster. That's why it has to be me. And Rubio, United States Senator, now Secretary of the State. I mean, he's not some little child who's going to be pushed around. He goes back. From what I understand, it got loud in there. Now, that's not the end of the world. It's a business meeting, a strategy meeting, and especially dudes, when they get in a meeting like that, there are going to be disagreements, there's going to be yelling, there's going to be arguments. That's fine. In fact, it's beneficial, right? But it also shows that Elon, a guy like that, who just, he immediately sees a problem, figures out how to solve it. You there, immediately, boom, boom, boom. A guy like that, I worry about him getting frustrated. Hey, even if he quits tomorrow, we've done a lot of good with him, all right? You're going to do a lot of good with the Chef IQ, I'll tell you that. With IQ Sense, if you will, from Chef IQ. IQ Sense, it's a thermometer, but not like one you're used to. It's a wireless cooking thermometer, and now they've even improved it off the one they had. The probe can handle up to 1,000 degrees. You put it in whatever meat you're cooking. Whatever, chicken, steak, roast, brisket, doesn't matter. You leave it in there. No more opening up the oven, opening up the grill. I have to check the temp. You just leave the thermometer in there. It connects to the app on your phone. I don't care what you do. Go to the store. Sit on the couch. Your phone will tell you when it's done. And everything is cooking to temperature, right? Everything is cooking to temperature. Perfect every single time. How much would you save if every steak was perfect every time? That T-bone purchase at the grocery store? That can get expensive if you screw it up. You can't screw it up with IQ Sense. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse, saves you 15%. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, kind of loving what I heard today out of Pam Bondi. Credit where it's due. I've been calling for it. We've talked about it a million times. Resignations, firings is not enough. Government people have to go to prison. Pam Bondi today sounded like a lady heading that way.
As far as we are hearing a lot about fraud, waste, and abuse, a lot of waste and abuse, but there is a tremendous amount of fraud. And Elon, thank you for your partnership. Thank you for your team. You have uncovered so much fraud in our government, and we will prosecute you. We have an internal task force now working with every agency sitting here at this table. And if you've committed fraud, we're coming after you.
Look, I'm going to try not to get my hopes up. You know, I try not to. I'm trying not to get your hopes up. A task force right now inside every department. So you know what that means. DOJ has somebody sitting right by Elon and his group of computer nerds. And as you know, if anyone's going to be able to find that stuff, it's going to be Elon Musk. Obviously, that's how he's uncovered so much so already. As they go down line by line by line and they find out this is bad and this is bad and this is bad. Oh, wait, this is fraud. They're going to start traveling down that road. Okay, well, if this line item, it got paid out to, who did it get paid out to? Who cashed that check? Whose bank account is that? Look, financial crimes, the beauty of it is there's oftentimes a paper trail that you cannot cover up. If the DOJ is there and they're actually going to start prosecuting these people, do you understand how wonderful that could be for your country? And it's not about you or me getting our revenge for them blowing our money. That's a nice side benefit. If you are, I mean, look, we could take your pick. Doge says IRS modernization program is $15 billion over budget and 30 years overdue. Okay, so that story makes you angry. It makes me angry. But let's just, and this is a hypothetical, I don't know this, but let's say they dig into this. $15 billion over budget is quite a bit over budget. 30 years overdue. Look, there are delays, and then there's missing it by three decades. I was 13 when this program started, and it still hasn't finished. So let's say they dig in, and they start to find, and they will, that some of this money seems to have disappeared, if you will. You trace it to a certain line, and then it just kind of falls off a cliff. Well, you know what that means. Someone stole it. Someone pocketed it. If the DOJ is going to be sitting right there looking over somebody's shoulder and they're going to say, okay, well, that's a crime. We think there may be a crime here. What if, this is just a what if, Chris, write this one down. You never know. What if a couple years from now, what if we're looking at even 20, 30, 40, 50 people attached to the government, either people who ran NGOs or government people themselves, facing felony charges for what they've done with our money? You know how much that will do to preserve the length of the United States of America? Because let's say the worst thing happens and J.D. Vance loses in 2028 and Gavin Newsom's the president of the United States. Of course, the communists will immediately start to try and do everything they'd been doing. But you're telling me those arrests aren't going to resonate throughout the communist movement in this country? You're telling me the next government guy at the IRS, Pentagon, wherever, who gets tempted to get his fingers a little bit sticky isn't going to look at prison sentences and say, hey, man, that's not worth it. I'm not going to jail. No, I'm not doing that. It's what can save us. And I know it's just talk right now. So I don't want to get your hopes up or my hopes up. People in politics, all of them, Republican and Democrat, they overpromise and underdeliver, to put it mildly. Maybe this won't come with any indictments. Or maybe we'll get one. They'll pick the worst one, make an example of him, and call it a day. But what if it does? And Pam Bondi's been around politics long enough to know, you keep putting stuff like this out here, people are going to demand handcuffs.
As far as we are hearing a lot about fraud, waste, and abuse, a lot of waste and abuse, but there is a tremendous amount of fraud. And Elon, thank you for your partnership. Thank you for your team. You have uncovered so much fraud in our government, and we will prosecute you. We have an internal task force now working with every agency sitting here at this table. And if you've committed fraud, we're coming after you.
Okay. Jesse, let's do some emails. Didn't Genghis Khan solve it by exterminating his problems? This is about my rant last Friday about how it's very difficult to kill your way out of a problem, how you should be nonviolent and you shouldn't want to hurt people. Not because you're a pacifist or I'm a pacifist, or not because there's no place for violence ever. I've never said that, because it's very hard to kill your way out of a problem. It's almost impossible to kill your way out of a problem. And you mentioned, I'm glad you actually mentioned it, because that's a great example. Genghis Khan. Who was more total in his killing than Genghis Khan? If you didn't submit as a city, he'll kill you all. He'll kill your cat. He'll kill your dog. He did it. Did the Mongols end up having a peaceful existence ever? Never. Never worked out that way. Oh, that particular city may not give you any more problems, but there's always problems coming your way no matter how ruthless you are. Okay, I want to talk just for a minute about some pretty pervasive racism that goes on in the country, and it has to be addressed. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Okay, so let's discuss something here. Something that is not extremely well known. Something we should probably do yet another history episode on at some point in time. But you know about Mao's Cultural Revolution in China. You know that it's a bunch of students, high school and college students, weaponized against the old political guard that Mao was angry at. And he deployed them like a domestic army to go around torturing and beating to death all of his political opponents. It's also what he used to destroy Chinese history so he could rewrite history just like every communist does. Most people know those things. What a lot of people do not understand is how often racial grievances have been used in the history of communist activism. We like to look back at communism in the Soviet Union or China or whatnot, and we almost make it simpler than today's communism. Oh, well, today we have the Black Lives Matter stuff, and it's different than what was taking place in the Soviet Union. No. There are all kinds of different ethnicities inside Chinese. Just we use blanket Chinese ethnicity as just one thing, but there's all kinds of different groups and subgroups, just like here in America, just like anywhere, because everybody can trace their lineage back to this tribe or region, and there's all kinds of different subgroups. And one of the most effective ways communists will turn a group tyrannical, violent, and evil against another group is they will find a group that really represents the power center they want to destroy, and they'll make it racial. And they'll declare open war on that racial group. And they'll convince everyone else that you could do whatever you want to that racial group, and there's no problem because those are the bad guys. Those are the evil ones. They're the ones responsible. Those are the bad guys. And that you must understand. Yes, there's a greater purpose for American communism. It's to destroy everything. But that is a central part of American communism, with the hatred of white people that they have gotten ingrained in the minds of so many people of every color in this country, including white people themselves. They have built it in that just having white skin is evil and bad. You're an oppressor. You're a colonizer. In fact, if you're white, you can't even experience racism.
Here, now you can
black
respond.
Black women cannot be racist to white women. Are you kidding me?
Sorry?
That makes no sense.
Sorry?
Black women cannot be racist to white women. Do you not understand that?
Oh, yes, they can.
You don't have the intellectual
capacity
to understand that.
Oh, yes, they
that's
can.
Very much
and
impossible.
You've been racist to me. That's
She's saying it and she means it. You see, this open, naked, anti-white racism, anti-male bias that is DEI, it's not just about punishing white people. It's also about punishing men. Most of the DEI people rewarded with DEI jobs are actually women. We generally try to make it about black people this or something like that, and there's obviously a lot of that, but most of it's about women. But anyway, what is all of it? All of it is the communists, the American communists, the Western communists. You see this in places like Ireland, America, everywhere, deciding that white people in general, they're going to put up the biggest fight against what we're doing. So what we'll do is we'll simply put into law anti-white things. In fact, we'll brag about all the anti-white things we're doing. Remember, every single ad you've ever seen, every email, every commercial, every single thing you've seen with a company bragging about diversity is a company bragging about anti-white racism. Realize that. It was not white people they were talking about. Definitely anti-white males. That is a company bragging that they are against anti-white males, bragging about it. They feel totally comfortable saying it publicly. We are focusing on diversity. What's that mean? Oh, well, we're going to make sure we don't hire any white men. That's what it means. You want to hear something jaw-dropping? This is from Jacob Savage. He wrote this for Compact Magazine. This is about the world of literature, which I don't expect you to care about literature. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But listen to this. Systemic racism? That's the real true evil. One person being racist against another is a thing. Whatever, avoid them. When you have it built in systemically, that's awful. Quote, this is from Jacob Savage. Over the course of the 2010s, the literary pipeline for white men was effectively shut down. Between 2001 and 2011, six white men won the New York Public Library's Young Lions Prize for debut fiction. Okay, so you got that? From 2001 to 2011, six won it. Since 2020, not a single white man has even been nominated of the 25 total nominations. The past decade has seen 70 finalists for the Center for Fiction's first novel prize, with, again, not a single straight white American millennial male. Of the 14 millennial finalists for the National Book Award during the exact same time period, zero are white men. The Wallace Stegner Fellowship at Stanford, a launching pad for young writers, currently has zero white male fiction and poetry fellows of the 25 fiction fellows since 2020. Just one was a white man. Perhaps most astonishingly, not a single white American man born after 1984 has published a work of literary fiction in The New Yorker. At least 24 and probably closer to 30 younger millennials have been published in total. Do I need to read that to you again? Now, again, it's literature. Maybe you are a writer and that hits close to home. Maybe you're not. It's not about literature. That's about the institutions of the United States of America deciding that white people are evil, that white men are evil, and they deserve whatever comes their way. So you can eliminate them, segregate them, oppress them. You can treat them like second-class citizens. In fact, you should. What is happening today in the United States of America to white males is every bit as sick, evil, and wrong as what was happening to black people in the 1950s and 60s in this country. We look back in horror, and we look and we see things like whites only for a restaurant. And we are justifiably angry about such things. That's friggin' horrible. That the skin color matters. You can't go eat a piece of cherry pie. That matters. That angers us. And yet we read things like this and it doesn't bat an eye in this country now. It's a huge deal. And it is playing a huge role in the simmering anger which you can feel in young men across this country. They feel disenfranchised. They feel as if they can't get in. You know what? Go look at how many college scholarships are available for young white men out there. You know, have you seen how expensive college is? It's staggering. I remember years ago when I was, this is over 20 years ago, when I was lamely looking at colleges to get into and trying to find how to pay for it, I remember the binder I got from my school, and I remember, wow, we were middle class by this point in time. I didn't qualify for a single one of them. Not one. That's wrong. And it's systemic across this country. Here it is. MGM Casino Marketing Director. Quote, not going to hire whites. They just will come out and say it now. They just come right out and say it. Amazing to me what has happened. And amazing how many people will not speak out against it. Freaking evil, man. It's wrong. And if your company has, look how diverse we are. That's anti-white racism. And you're bragging about it. All right? Speak up. Get some chalk in you so you'll speak up. You'll be less afraid of all the ninnies who I'm sure were desperately writing down every word I just said during that so they can complain. Go ahead and complain, you freaking losers. You know what? In fact, send your complaints to Chalk. Let me know how that goes for you. The last time Chalk got a complaint, which of course everyone gets complaints about me, Chalk emailed him back and said, "We've said worse than Jesse." I love them. That's what happens when you take a male vitality stack from Chalk and your T levels are high. You don't worry about whining communists trying to cancel people. Do you want energy and focus? You want to feel good all the time, men or women? Get some natural herbal supplements in your body, man. I love Chalk so much. Not just for their values, for how I get to feel all day, every day now. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. We did Medal of Honor Monday. We had history. I got a little upset in the opening of the show. If you missed any of that, you can download it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. You can send us an email, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'll get to a couple of those emails here in a couple minutes. I just wanted to do a couple other things. I wanted to remind you, everything you see when it comes to the support of American communism or the anger at the right, it's all lies, remember. Communism is all based on lies. All the protests, all the rallies, the people were paid. Remember that story? It didn't get a lot of play. We talked about it on this show where Kamala Harris, I believe it was in Pittsburgh. Don't quote me on that, but I think I'm right. Kamala Harris went to Pittsburgh. When she was running for president, you know how presidents or potential presidents, they'll always pop in a diner. For some reason, a diner's a thing. People look at a diner. People are sitting around having eggs, having coffee. It looks like America to everybody. All kinds of people in a diner. Well, she shows up at a diner. We all look at the video. There's Harris talking to people in a diner. We find out later on, they kicked everyone out of the diner and bust in a bunch of paid people to be there. They were all actors. Hey, wouldn't anybody in that diner cared about Kamala Harris? They ran them out and brought in people who did. AOC and Bernie Sanders, the two commies, are touring the country. They did a tour, and they said there were 34,000 people at this location. Listen to this.
You probably said to yourself, are these rallies organic, or is somebody paying people to go to them? 84% of the devices, which means the people who own them, attended 9 or more Kamala Harris rallies or Antifa, BLM, pro-Hamas, or pro-Palestinian. And 31% of them had attended over 20. So it's looking to me like the entire Democratic Party, where their popularity, at least for their congressional leaders, is the lowest it's been in a long time. It looks to me they're trying to create what looks like an artificial popularity by simply paying people.
That's Tony Saruga is his name. Now, I don't know Tony. He does data. He does incredible work with data. Here's his written post, but this is his work, not mine, so I want to make sure he gets credit for it. They're talking about they're claiming there were 34,000 people at this big rally. He says, here we go again. There were 20,189 devices. Still a large crowd, but not even close to the 30,000 quoted in the Denver newspaper, nor the 34,000 quoted by Bernie Sanders and AOC. This is the best part. 84% of the devices present had attended 9 or more of Kamala Harris's rallies, Antifa, BLM, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian. 31% had attended over 20 of them. Okay, well, that doesn't make sense, does it? 84% of the people at this rally go to rallies all the time? They fly all over the country to go to rallies? Now, even if you're the most committed communist in the world, that's kind of a lot. Why would you do that? For money. American communism. Everything you see. The activism, the anger, the everything. It's all paid for. All paid for. Yeah, Chris just did the quick math. Thank you, Chris. So that's 3,000 people. That's all. Of the whole crowd, 3,000 people didn't go to over 9 rallies. Remember, 31% of them attended over 20. Those are the real, those are the people who show up to work every single day in the Democrat Party. As Lee Zeldin lays out here, he's talking about the EPA, yet another example. The endless frustration we have is not only is all communist activism funded, large portions of it are funded with our money. With these rallies, I wouldn't be surprised if you went down that rabbit hole and found out which group was paying who to be where, if eventually you wouldn't come back to your frigging wallet.
EPA has now canceled over $22 billion worth of contracts. $2 billion going to this NGO that Stacey Abrams was tied to. They received only $100 in 2023. And then the Biden administration gave them $2 billion. The director of the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund saw his former employer get $5 billion. So $20 billion went to just eight NGOs, and they're all pass-throughs.
Chris asked, does it matter? Does it matter? Well, did you know that this is a thing in the restaurant industry, or I'm not as familiar, I admit, with the club industry. I don't go clubbing. But did you know that when a new one opens, oftentimes they will pay people not only to fill up the restaurant for the first couple nights, they'll pay people to wait in line because there's an illusion that it's popular, it's good, it's, of course it matters. They wouldn't still be doing it if it didn't matter. Of course it matters. Matters a lot. Rough greens matters a lot. It matters for the health of your dog. It matters for how long your dog's going to live. It's one of the worst moments in everyone's life. Look, we all live with loss, right? Family members, friends, people close to us die. I bet you remember the last time your dog died, don't you? Gotcha. Gosh, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like when friggin' Fred goes. That's why you need to give your dog Rough Greens. A naturopathic doctor named Dennis Black created Rough Greens. It's a nutritional supplement, all natural, that you sprinkle on your dog's food. Because your dog's dog food is, well, garbage. There's no nutrition in it. There is in Rough Greens. Rough Greens will give you a free jumpstart trial bag. See if your dog likes it. He will. You'll see differences in your dog, and your dog gets to live longer. 833-33-MY-DOG, or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
AIDS pandemic risks resurging globally amid U.S. funding halt, according to the UN. I don't mean to be harsh to anybody, no matter where they happen to live on the planet. But in the year 2025, if you still need U.S. funding to learn how to avoid getting AIDS, you probably deserve AIDS. Columbia University agrees to Trump administration's pro-safety demands as it faces $400 million funding loss. Amazing that all we needed to get some universities back in line was somebody who actually wanted to get them back in line. Now let's expand this to all communist activism on American campuses. Oh, speaking of which, Boston University celebrating Trans Day of Visibility by performing tarot card readings, as if these people could get any weirder. That's one. Two, why do we need a Trans Day of Visibility? You trannies listening, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, buddy. Everybody can see you. Everybody knows. Everyone. AG Pam Bondi unleashed. Trump targets legal war against his agenda. I hope she is unleashed. I hope I will see this legal war. I keep hearing it's coming. I'm ready for it to get here. IRS may help track down illegal aliens for deportation. Well, that's ridiculous. Everyone knows the IRS is only used to attack people on the right. God forbid we actually use it to enforce immigration law. All right. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.